Life is a battlefield. Every day you're tested by others, challenged by society, and pushed to the limit by your inner struggles. To overcome, you must have the mindset of a warrior, at peace at all times, conscious of your true power, and present in every moment. Warriors are properly prepared to perform at the highest level. This is Way of Warrior Radio, helping you fight the good fight. And now, a man well-versed in trauma and drama, he's battle-hardened, and he has your six. Here is Way of Warrior Radio's Mr. Scott V. Black.
Have you ever considered... Have you ever wondered, what about my character? Have you ever thought to yourself that I deserve better than this? Have you ever wondered how some people could think the way they think about you when you think you're doing a pretty good job? Well, welcome to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. You know, it's been an interesting week, our first week as Way of Warrior. You know, for 31 years, I've been changing lives with intensive leadership training. Started with Empower You back in 1992. I think maybe 94 is actually when I formed the company. And for 18 to 20 years, I learned how to give people value. I learned how to help people overcome. I learned how to help people take their pain instead of making it themselves bitter to make themselves better. I learned, taught people how to reframe and remind, to recollect and to remember who we are, why we're here, and whose we are. And once I taught people to believe in themselves, including myself, then we realize now that we have value. Now it's time to live our lives like it matters. And so I reformed Empower You into Like It Matters. And for the last 12 years, I've been teaching people how to live their life like it matters, show them the toolbox they have, and have them get into those existential questions of who am I? What's that mission? Why do you get up each day, do what you do, go home at night, get up the next day and do it again and again and again? I had them consider where you live in. There's three levels. You can live in survival. You can live in success. Or you can live in significance. And through that process, I realize that there's a battle waging around us, many battles. And to the victor goes the spoils. And so now we rolled into likeitmatters.net, becomes wayofwarrior.training. And Like It Matters Radio becomes Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. You know, we live in a strange time, and as a warrior, we got to know our environment. It's the environment. Epigenetics teaches us that we are basically 180 to 300 trillion cell organism. And we're all driven by our environment. And so the environment that we find ourselves in America, the environment we find ourselves in a mentally unstable America, the environment we find ourselves in a postmodern, a post-Christian America is much different than this 58-year man experienced growing up. And so things have changed. You know what's really changed? Is I love Dr. King. I'm looking forward to meeting him someday on the Sea of Glass and talking with him. But you know what's changed in America today? Dr. Martin Luther King, who used to be the standard bearer for the civil rights movement, has been replaced by George Floyd. A man whose claim to fame is not how he lived, like Dr. King, but how he died. Anybody remember this famous quote?
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Do you hear what Dr. King said? He said, I long to live in an America where one day my four little children will be judged by their character, not by their skin color. Let me paraphrase what Dr. King said. I long for a day that my four little children will live in a country where they are judged by their choices and not their non-choices. Dr. King and Mr. Black did not choose the color of our skin. Dr. King nor Mr. Black, we did not choose our socioeconomic background we were grown up in. Dr. King nor Scott Black got to choose their family of origin. Dr. King nor Scott Black got to choose the attitude, the mindset of their country. So what is character? Character's choices. Character and reputation are two distinct but interconnected aspects of a person's identity. Character refers to the inherent qualities and traits that define an individual's moral and ethical values. It is the essence of who they truly are, regardless of external perceptions. On the other hand, reputation is a perception or opinion that others hold with about a person based on their actions, behavior, and public image. And this is what's changed. This is what's changed. Do you realize that what you do has very little to do with how some people are going to think about you? Let me tell you about expectations. The first psychologist to systematically study expectations was a Harvard professor named Robert Rosenthal. In 1964, he did an experiment at an elementary school outside of San Francisco. The idea was to figure out what would happen if teachers were told that certain kids in their class were destined to succeed. So Rosenthal took a normal IQ test and dressed up as a different test. It was a standardized IQ test, Flanagan's test of general ability, he says. But the cover we put on it, they put a fake cover on it. And they had it printed on the top, Harvard test of inflected acquisition. Rosenthal told the teachers that this very special test from Harvard had the very special ability to predict which kids were about to be very special. That is, which kids were about to experience a dramatic growth in their IQ. After the kids took the test, he then chose from every class several students, totally at random. No way, just random. There was nothing at all to distinguish these kids from the other kids. But what he did is he told the teachers, he implanted a belief system in the teachers that the test predicted the kids were on the verge of an intense intellectual bloom. As he followed the children over the next 2 years, Rosenthal discovered that the teachers' expectation of these kids really did affect the students. If teachers had been led to expect greater gains in IQ, then increasingly those kids gained more IQ. Just how do expectations influence IQ? As Rosenthal did more research, he found out that expectations affect teachers moment to moment. Listen, moment to moment interactions with the children they teach in 1,000 almost invisible ways. Listen, teachers give the students that they expect to succeed more time to answer questions, more specific feedback, and more approval. They consistently touch, nod, and smile at those kids more. He says it's not magic. It's not mental telepathy. It's very likely these thousands of different ways of treating people in small ways every day, and they're unconscious. This is what you got to figure out. As a warrior, you could have the utmost character, but your reputation could be squandered because we live in a bigoted, hateful world. How about this article from yesterday? James Carville: Christian nationalists like Speaker Mike Johnson are a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda. You have someone who used to be in the White House as Clinton's main guy, saying that if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have a real intimate relation, then you are a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda. You have our president telling people that a white conservative Christian is a bigger threat to America than ISIS, than this open border. See, this is what we're going to talk about today. You could have all the great character in the world, but because of a bigoted, hateful, racist country, you could be branded. You could give a reputation, if you will, of being someone other than you are. So what's a warrior to do? A warrior is to know their environment, because proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. After the break, I'm going to have good friend and Bible teacher Don Noh join me, and we're going to talk about the cultural battle that we find ourselves here in America. Stay tuned. You want to get your weapons ready, warriors.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-504-1123. 800-504-1123. 800-504-1123. That's 800-504-1123.
This is Scott Black of Like It Matters. As many of you know, I have been helping people to be the best they were created to be. Many more people need to receive the benefits of Leadership Awakening. Mental health in our communities is a real issue. We recently received our 501c3 nonprofit status with the emphasis of creating and delivering, taking back your power and your freedom to the least among us struggling with mental health issues. Please help us help others. You can save a marriage, save a business, or a life by supporting Like It Matters with your tax-deductible gifts. All gifts are needed, large, small, and everything in between. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at likeitmatters.net. Give today at likeitmatters.net. And by the way, Like It Matters Leadership Awakening classes will continue. Check out the schedule at likeitmatters.net as we build our training for those suffering from the challenges of poor mental health. God bless you. Welcome back to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. And today, warriors, we're talking about cultural warriors. You know, we're fighting the good fight in our culture. You know, character is the foundation of an individual's identity. It encompasses a person's values, beliefs, integrity, and moral compass. It is the internal compass that guides our thoughts, decisions, and actions. Character is not something that can be easily be changed or manipulated. It is deeply ingrained within us and reflects our true nation. And we got to understand that as warriors fighting the good fight, we got to understand our environment. We live in a time when emotional offense or woundedness often becomes a criterion for deciding if love has been shown. If a person can claim to have been hurt by what you say, it is assumed by many that they did not act in love. In other words, love is not defined by the quality of the act and its motives, but by the subjective response of others. In this way of relating, the wounded one has absolute authority. If he says you hurt him or she says you hurt her, then you cannot have acted lovingly. You are guilty. And by the way, Jesus will not allow this way of relating to go unchallenged. Love is not defined by the response of the loved. A person can be genuinely loved and feel hurt or offended or angered or retaliatory or numb without in any way diminishing the beauty and value of the act of love that hurt them. How do we know this? Logic. We know this most clearly from the death of Jesus, the greatest act of love ever performed, because the responses to it covered the range from affection in John 19:27 to fury in Matthew 27:41-52. That people were broken, wounded, angered, enraged, and cynical in response to Jesus' death did not alter the fact that what he did was a great act of love. Which brings us to today's topic. And today's topic is cultural warriors, because we got to figure out what is going on in this once great country called America. In order to have this conversation and shed some eternal light, some spiritual light to the discussion, we're going to bring my friend, Bible teacher, brother of mine, a friend of mine, a guy I hang out every Friday night with when I'm not out of town, Mr. Don No. Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm great, Mr. Black. How are you doing?
Boy, oh boy, is Isaiah more prophetic than ever? You know, in the end days, what's wrong will be called right, and what's right will be called wrong. What's crazy will be called normal. What's normal, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, will be called crazy. What is going on in America? Where are we? What do we call this, postmodern, post-Christian? What do you call where America is today, Don?
Well, upside down is a good place to start. And again, the Bible was pretty clear that, towards the end time, and we most definitely are in the end times, what is evil will be called good, and what is good will be called evil, and nothing could be more true when you survey the landscape of America and the world. Nothing could be more true. We truly are confronted with the postmodernism, which really ushered in the acceptance of the belief of no absolute truth. And when you do that, when as a society you adopt subjective truth, then that basically frees people from the consequences of their actions and their choices. And we see that play out every day on the landscape of the world and America, for sure. We want to claim victimhood. We want to blame somebody else. And all of those societal issues and all those societal problems find their source in lack of accountability, lack of ownership, lack of being in charge of our life.
And it's privilege.
Exactly, and that is the genesis of so much of our the ills in our society today.
Yeah, and I watched this show called Fatal Vows. It's on Independent Discovery, and it's a killer show. I call them killer shows. You know, they start off where these people are madly in love. Of course, they're fornicating everywhere. That's what we call love today, how much you fornicate with somebody. So they're fornicating all over in mad love. Well, that's the first 5 minutes of the hour show. And then the rest is talking about how one of them brutally murdered the other one. But it talks so much. But in there, there's these two psychologists. One's a forensic psychologist, and they pop in throughout the show and give you a psychological background of what's going on. And, you know, it's amazing because probably the last five or six I've heard, and it keeps going back to both of them come down when they're talking about this murder or how this person's acting. They always go back to this word privilege. I'm hearing it more and more that when people feel privileged, there's no accountability. People deserve. People have a right. And I think about what we did to Jesus when he was incarnate, and whether people believe in his deity or not, I mean, no one can deny he's a real person. The books of Josephus talked about him. History books talk about him. The Jews believe in him. The Muslims believe in him. There are 94 ayats in the Quran about Isa al-Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. So when he came to love, to serve, we ripped the flesh off him. We nailed him to a cross with what we'd call today like railroad spikes. We whipped the flesh off him. We nailed a crown of thorns in his head. And Jesus said seven things on the cross, Don, and you know this, Pastor. The first one was forgive them, Father, and we have no forgiveness. But we do have a pound of flesh. We do have a record of wrong. We want to keep score, and now we don't forgive. So let me ask you, what is the difference? And by the way, what you said is so right on. You said we've come to the point where truth is relative, that what may be true for you might not be true for me. And by the way, that started in my teen years. I started seeing that in colleges all around. We used to laugh at that and mock that and thought how silly it was. And today, it's the standard. Because what happened is we allowed it. So explain to me, what is the difference between acceptance? Because as Christians, we're supposed to be accepting of people, not their sins, but their people. What's the difference between acceptance and tolerance?
You know, it's an interesting question, and one that I talk about often when we're talking about culture and societal issues. But Jesus called us to love one another and to love our neighbor and to recognize them as an image-bearing creation of God. But there's nothing in there about tolerating. And this is where we have really kind of lost our way. We are in a society that attempts to fix spiritual problems with political or societal remedies. And you never fix a spiritual issue with a carnal solution. And if that fix doesn't work, then we have to start looking for other excuses as to why we're still broken. And the further away from biblical truth we get, the further away from the very solutions that would fix our problems. But since that requires an acknowledgement of a higher being, and that requires acknowledgement that we don't have all the answers, and it requires acknowledgement that this is not about me, you know, and it's not about you, it's about him, because those answers require us to walk down that path, we are unwilling to do that. And we have human carnage by the millions and hundreds of millions as a result of us forcing our own societal and cultural solutions onto problems of the heart. And it is absolutely heartbreaking. And we're seeing it play out in grand scale right now today on the pages of our newspapers and the events of the world. And it's an age-old problem.
Yeah. And Don, I want to tell you, you know, what you're saying is spiritually sound. But then people could say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible, so it really doesn't apply to me. And this is where I jump in, because this is where I study the human mind. This is where I study the science of how we work. This is what my background in neurolinguistic programming is, and the different things, transactional analysis, cognitive behavioral therapy. Robert Diltz, who wrote the late 90s about the logical levels, based on Gregory Bateson's work in Ecology of Mind. And he identified six logical levels. At the bottom is environment, right above that's behavior, right above that's capabilities, right above that's beliefs and values, right above that's identity, and right above that's spirit. Now, why this matters, Don, is something about the logical levels. It applies Einstein's quote. Einstein said, you can never solve a problem at the same level it was created at. And so you must go level above it. I never made sense until I saw the logical levels. So on mm-hmm. this logical levels, there's six levels. So right in the middle is capabilities. So if I have a struggle with my capabilities, I can't deal with it at the capabilities level. I must go the level above it, beliefs and values, to deal with that, because it's easier to change things at the bottom versus the top. But change takes place only from the top down, not from the bottom up. I could take an alcoholic out of the bar, which is the environment, the lowest level. There's still an alcoholic. But if that alcoholic meets God and turns over God at the spirit identity, then it changes their identity. It changes their beliefs. It changes their capabilities. Why I bring all this up, Don, is a logical reason. If man is the issue, and man's always the issue, the identity, man can't solve the issue of man. You must go to the level above it. And the level above it, even an NLP who does not believe in an intimate personal God, puts spirit. Now, to NLP, spirit is a higher purpose, your bigger connection to the universe. To you and I, we know it's Abba Daddy. It's Yahweh. That's who spirit is. And we are a spirit made in the image of our daddy spirit, which let us make man in our image. So let me ask you this. Should I be, if I'm a blood-bought saint, should I be surprised that I'm being attacked by the world?
Absolutely not. No, we know for a fact. I mean, Jesus told us, look, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you. You know, his closest friends and followers while he was on earth all died at the executioner's hand. I mean, yes, we are guaranteed opposition headwinds. And it's because the way that we are searching for and striving to follow, that path is narrow.
Hold that thought, Don, because that's what we're going to start the next segment, spend the whole segment on, is what should we prepare for? As a warrior, proper preparation prevents piss poor performance, and God tells us to beware of the wiles of the enemy. So, Don, after the break, we're going to go through what does Scripture tell us? If we are a child of God, how will the world treat us? I want to pick up at that after the break, Don. The rest of you, don't go anywhere. We're talking about cultural warriors, and we're talking about fighting our good fight. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're a work in progress.
A little more.
Constantly under construction.
That's good.
To build your productive life, you need the right tools from Mr. Black and Like It Matters Radio. A good golfer has a great caddy who shares the load and understands the course. Hire Mr. Black as your life caddy to live more fulfilling and successfully. If you want to get to the next level and beyond, both personally and professionally, sign up for Mr. Black's immersive Leadership Awakening class. It's the most powerful, transformational 2 days you will ever experience. Stay in touch with Mr. Black and the change connected to him on your schedule with his daily podcast. Search Living Like It Matters wherever you get your podcasts. Walk along with Mr. Black as he goes to God's instruction manual. It's manna from the Word of God with Mr. Black's Bible teaching at wayofwarrior.blog. Build yourself up like it matters and get everything God has for you. Go to likeitmatters.net. That's likeitmatters.net.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-246-1687. 800-246-1687.
Welcome back to Way of a Warrior, fighting the good fight. You know, there's lots of battles out there. The battle with ourselves, the battle of the old man and the new man, the battle between flesh and spirit, the battle between what I used to be to from who I am today. But there's also this battle that if you follow after the God of the Bible and you want to be the best version of yourself, how God made you, then you're going to be in another battle. And the battle that we're going to be at is with our own culture in this America. And today we're being joined by my good friend, Bible teacher, Don Noh. Again, Don, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you.
It's always great to be on with you, Scott.
Hey, and you do some Bible teaching on YouTube, too. Why don't you tell the listeners if they want to follow after you, they can find you. Where can they find you?
Yeah, this is a new project. We're just getting started. We're really excited about it. But it's just going to be 30-minute, mostly 30-minute segments of Bible teaching on a variety of topics. It's the name of our YouTube channel is Biblical Lens of Truth. Real easy to find on YouTube, and we don't have a great deal of content up yet. We're finishing up our studio. We should be in permanent studio quarters here within the next month, and hopefully have regular content dropping every week. So we're excited about it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really, Scott, just what we talk about so often. What does the Bible say? Take the spin, take the denomination, take all of the preconceived ideas, all the isms out of it, and what does the Bible say? And it ought to be a lot of fun.
Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, you know, before I brought you on, I start off with talking about character. You know, Dr. King, I have a dream that one day my four little children will be judged by the content of their character. In other words, their choices. And I was talking about the difference between character and reputation. It says, while character refers to the inherent qualities and traits that define a person's moral and ethical values, reputation is the perception or opinion that others hold about an individual. Now, on the definition, it says based on what? So it says opinion that others hold about an individual based on their actions, behavior, and then the third one, this is the big one, and public image. Why I bring this up is on the break, I Googled something. Just wanted to find the verse or two in the Bible that says, if you love God, the world's going to hate you. And you ready what I found? 47 Bible verses about, quote, the world will hate you. Starting with John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So tell us about this. So how does a warrior of God, an arrow in the quiver of Yahweh, how do they build up their reputation in a world that no longer follows after God if they're following after God? What's a warrior to do, Don?
Well, yeah, and that is a question that we must confront, and the answers to that question really go back, and I do this often, but it goes back to the Garden of Eden. You know,
amen.
The serpent didn't care about Eve, okay? It wasn't about deceiving Eve. It was about attacking and diminishing God through his creation. The enemy, you know, Satan is wise enough. We give him credit for being much wiser than he is, but he's wise enough to know that he cannot confront God head on and win that battle. So what he does is attack the very thing that God has created and that God loves above all of the rest of his creation, and that is mankind. That is the thing that God loves, and that is the thing the enemy is going to attack. So how do we prepare for that? First, I recognize that we're in a war. you know, we spoke the last time we got together on your show, talked about the fact that it's not about you declaring war on the enemy. The enemy has already declared war. You're already in a war, and it is a spiritual battle, and the tools of carnal warfare do not work in a spiritual battle. And what it requires for us as followers of Christ to do is realize that that battle is not ours to fight. Our Amen. Role in that battle is to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and realize that as surrendering to him, we empower him to fight our battles. And that is how we fight the spiritual battle that we're in. And I think, you know, a quote that I stumbled across here recently that has really resonated with me is from J.C. Ryle, who was an Anglican bishop back in the 1800s. He said, "Until we give God our heart, we give him nothing at all."
Amen.
And it just
and biblically,
you know, it,
yeah, you know what? Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly, it's one of those things that I'm sure I've seen that quote. I've probably read that quote. I may have even quoted that quote before, but just recently, it really came home to me that as long as you are holding back, we've given him nothing. It's when we let go and let God step into our life that we become victorious in those spiritual battles, and not until.
Yep. And again, I always go back to scripture, my standard scriptures. What you said about until you give your heart, what Jason Wright or whatever the guy's name was, because what does God say? Where your heart is, where what else is there? Your treasure.
Yeah. Your treasure.
Your treasure. That's why, yeah, you know, we
No, I was just going to say prosperity gospel teachers want to talk about money and that may be by all means an indicator of where our heart is. But you don't buy salvation and we don't buy God's forgiveness and we don't buy grace. Those things are free gifts. We just have to accept them. But it's the things that we long for. When you wake up in the morning, what are the things you long for? And we make idols out of everything. Our children, our pets, our hobbies, you name it, we make idols. And anything that comes between us and our relationship with God is an idol, and we have to tear those things down.
Yeah, and what you talked about is attempting to solve spiritual problems in a fleshly way. The equivalence of bringing a knife to a gunfight, fair enough?
It truly right. is. And I read a book recently that talked about, really, it kind of went back to the founding fathers of our country and the fact that Oz Guinness, I think, may have been the first one to kind of coin this, but the golden triangle of freedom and how our country was founded. And we forget that our you know, founding fathers were far from perfect. And many of them, you know, were not true followers of Christ, but they all believed in a God and they all submitted to the authority of a higher power. And some were very devout Christians, but they understood that for us to have a free self-govern, governed by the people, an experiment, something that has never been successful and hardly ever tried in all the history of mankind, that we needed three things. We needed freedom. And with that freedom, we could pursue our faith. And with the faith would come virtue. And those three legs form the pillar of our society. And I ask you today, where are we in relation to our founding in the areas of freedom, faith, and virtue? And you have no virtue without freedom and faith. You have no freedom without faith and virtue. They do not survive alone. It's like a three-legged stool. It is unstable if you take away any one of the three legs. And we see the deterioration of those pillars of our society, our free society, our wonderful society that we have enjoyed and has prospered for over 200 years. We see the very pillars of that society being destroyed.
It's crumbling.
Right, before us.
Yeah, it's
crumbling,
sad.
Truly.
And this is what's happened to our culture, because now the founders of this country, let's be honest, I mean, we want to bring it up all the time, white Christians, that's the founders, are now the biggest threat. that we can go on Bill Maher, comedian, you got James Carville, all saying that if you're a devout follower of Jesus Christ, you're a bigger threat to this country than Al-Qaeda, than ISIS, than Hamas. That's stunning. And that is a normal thought from 40% of the country. That is a normal thought from state-run media. That is a normal thought for the deep state. I mean, they're attacking Catholics that are outside of anti-abortion clinics. They're attacking parents who go to school boards to protect their kids being perverted, and they're being called terrorists. So this is the big thing. John says, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It says in John 7 as well, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it. That's works are evil. And Peter, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We got about a minute left. I'm helping people fight the good fight, keep the right mental state. And yet they're out there being hated on them by the world, but they're living good lives. What would be your 30, 45-second pep talk to a child of God who wants to honor God and be a noble warrior? What would you tell them?
I think, here's where I'd like to land the plane. The Bible has, I think, 60-some-odd thousand verses. And if you go just numerically to the very center of the Bible, the very center of the verses, this many verses before these verses, this many after, it takes us to the 117th Psalm, and it's the 8th and 9th verse that are the absolute center numerical point of the Bible. And I think this is very, very telling. Psalm 118. 118, yeah. 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Amen.
How appropriate that is the very center of God's holy word.
Amen. Our center of our focus. Hey, we're going to heartbreak, brother. God bless you, Don. Look forward
Thank
to seeing you,
Chad.
Next week at your house. All right.
Likewise.
God bless you, brother. We'll talk
Absolutely.
Soon.
Absolutely. You bet.
All right. After the break, we're going to talk about how does a warrior fight the good fight even when they're in a bad environment. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. My show is about helping people become all they were created to be. Well, we all occupy a body and we don't know how it works. We are born into it. But man, that's a machine. And when you understand how that machine works, then you can work it more effectively. That's my outcome, to help people be able to make better decisions, have some hope, be inspired to be better today than they were yesterday, to live their life like it matters.
Like It Matters Radio with Scott Black.
What can you do in 48 hours that changes your life? Like It Matters Leadership Awakening. Listen to this 22-year law enforcement veteran with PTSD compare Leadership Awakening to other training he's received.
You focus on the individual. I think you kind of answered the why question, whereas a lot of the other programs that are out there, I don't want to say they put a Band-Aid on it, but they don't do a very good job of going into the why. And, you know, why am I doing this? Why is my brain revert back to the images, you know, why do I get depressed? And like you said, right, it's a choice.
48 hours. Give Mr. Black and Leadership Awakening just 48 hours, and it will change the course of your life. Go to likeitmatters.net and click on Schedule for Leadership Awakening near you. That's likeitmatters.net. Just click on Schedule. Leadership Awakening, where 48 hours will change your life.
Welcome back to Way of Warrior, fighting the good fight. And today on the Way of Warrior, our hour of power has been focused on the culture that we live in. You know, the study of epigenetics tells us that we are basically a community of somewhere between 200 and 300 trillion cells, all driven by our environment. In the book, Biology of Belief, the guy's name, I think, is Bruce Lipton. He's a tenured professor at University of Wisconsin Medical School. I believe it's been a while since I read the book. And in that book, he says what we believed about what drove a cell, he said we've been wrong. And he's a microbiologist. He's a Darwinist, a microbiologist. He's a scientist. He said we've always believed that the nucleus drove the cell. But he said we're wrong. It's not the nucleus. He says it's the cell membrane. It's the cell membrane that drives the cell. And then he goes on to make this incredible statement. He posits that technically we are nothing more than a community of 300 trillion cells, all driven by our environment. Do you hear that? It's a mic drop. All driven by our environment. As James Carville told Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. Well, if James Carville was talking here right now, he'd say it's the environment, stupid. Because you can take the nicest person in the world that's been done study after study and put him in a prison with hardcore criminals. Make him a prison guard. And in 6 months, a year, you will absolutely change that person. Why? Because character. Because reputation. Because fitting in. Anybody remember this guy?
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
It's amazing. There are streets all over this country. There are freeways, highways, Martin Luther King Highway, Martin Luther King Jr., I should say, highway. And today he's been replaced by George Floyd. Martin Luther King was a pastor. He was a man of God. He lived his life to set his people free. But his people were people who were under submission, who were slaves. But it wasn't just people of black skin color. It was all of us, those that don't know God. He was a Baptist minister. And so you got to realize that you can't really control your reputation. When you're in a world that's gone bad, there are going to be people that say things about you that aren't true. There are going to be people do things and make accusations that absolutely aren't true. Again, today, if you just claim to be a devout follower of Jesus Christ, you're automatically an enemy of the state. So knows your reputation. If you say, yeah, I voted for Donald Trump, people are going to hate you. They don't think you should have a job. They're going to want to drive you into homelessness. This is the hate that we've been told to have. This is the bigotry. And this, yet the people on the other side talk about how people of Trump are big. And this is where we got to stop the accusations. We got to figure out who we are. This is why it goes down to who we are. And people are watching. Leadership's a loop. We got to live our life understanding that people are watching. And what we're doing gives people permission. People are looking for example. A picture's worth a thousand words. And so they look to leadership. They look to government. They look to things. I just got this letter from the Upper Midwest Law Center based out of Minneapolis there. It's talking about the lawsuit of Span versus Minneapolis City Council. And there's a letter that was sent because the city has failed to hire and retain sufficient police with its budget. So they were supposed to have 731 police officers funded. As of November 223, you know how many they have? 580. A 32% decrease since August of 3 years ago, and 151 fewer than the city charter requires. Think about it, but there's money been given for that. And so this organization is holding them to the fire, and UMLC is deeply concerned about misconceptions by some on the council that they can disregard the Minnesota Supreme Court decision. The city remains bound by that decision and the charter, underscoring the city's legal, the council's legal obligation. So senior counsel James Dickey put this. He said, even though the state gave the city $19 million to shore up the police force, they apparently aren't going to hire police. They're going to spend it elsewhere. A budget that claims to fund 731 officers can hardly be maintained by 150 fewer. That's not adequate. But this is the problem. You see, we choose what laws we want to abide by. We don't have any immigration laws, right? Defense of Marriage Act wasn't defended. So we now got to a place where we choose what's wrong and what's right. That we can disavow what the Supreme Court says, but if someone else we don't like disavows what Supreme, they're a threat to the nation. They're an insurgent. This is where you got to understand what culture is. Culture is the human side of life. It's the hearts and minds of our people, their habits, their beliefs, their attitudes, the way they interact with each other. It is the values that underlie all decision making. In a weak culture, it's a negative environment. In a strong culture, it's a positive environment. Look at America. In a weak culture, leaders are dictators. Don't tell me we don't have dictators. Don't make Donald Trump a dictator. We don't need to make Trump a dictator. We are forced to stay home. We are forced to take a shot. We are forced to shut down our business. We're forced not to come together. We're forced to believe only what the government tells us. And if you say anything else, they'll ban you. Leaders are dictators in a weak culture. Leaders are motivators in a strong culture. In a weak culture, leaders are controlling. It's my way or the highway. In a strong culture, leaders allow for creativity. In a weak culture, fear is used to keep people in line. Fear of loss, fear of risk, fear of embarrassment. Look at all the fear. Donald Trump's going to become a dictator. Oh, he's gonna destroy America. Don't you see the fear? We're being played with fear, people. Fear-mongering. In a strong culture, empowerment and encouragement support the team. In a weak culture, it's backbiting, politics, people trashing each other. In a strong culture, people support each other. When they have a problem with someone, they address it with them. This is basic structure. This is why we got to know who we are. Because as the world's changing, we can't change with the world. This is why we got to understand our identity and our behavior are closely related. This is why we got to, are we willing? Are we willing to be a person of character? Or are we so worried about what the world thinks about us? There is emotional intelligence. I talk about it all the time. Emotional intelligence is the right emotion with the right intensity at the right time for the right reason directed with the right person. A lot of people get that confused with this new term called social intelligence. You know what social intelligence? It's basically playing the game. It's being woke. It's politically correct. It's being so aware of what everybody else wants you to do and not want you to do, say it, that it becomes so fake that you're just a chameleon. And yet, what people now are looking for is just get along. The head that sticks out the furthest gets knocked the hardest. The nail that sticks out the furthest gets hit the hardest. There are so many proverbs that say that. You gotta be interested in your character. Who are you? It is appointed for a man to die one time and then comes a judgment. When was the last time you spent 2.5 days just working on who you are? Because once you know who you are, what to do is a lot easier. See, reputation isn't everything. You are in this world, but not of this world. You are the chocolate chip in a chocolate chip cookie. If you go to a bakery and they hand you a chocolate chip cookie and say, I'm sorry, I can't have sugar. Take the sugar out. So I can't take the sugar out. It's part of the cookie. Take out the flour. I can't take the flour out. It's part of the cookie. But you know what you could take out is those chocolate chips. Because under all that pressure, the heat, they keep their form. That's what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. We got to get chippy, buddy. Chippy, baby. Reputation is everything. Character is more important. A reputation that is gained without character is hypocrisy. A reputation that grows out of a good character is simply giving honor to whom honor is due. Character is within our power. Reputation is a thing over which we have very little control. Character cannot be taken away from us by any person. Reputation can be stolen from you by liars. Striving for character is a strength. Aiming solely at reputation is weakness. Character endures difficulty. You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you hit again. A righteous man will stumble 7 times but get back up. But the wicked will stumble into ruin. Reputation seekers are confused when difficulty arises. Character seeks to do what is right. Reputation seekers seek to do what is acceptable to the most mortals. Integrity, honesty, clarity, and honor are valued by men and women of character. Today, I want you to get ready because there are 3 mindsets of a warrior. You are peaceful, you are powerful, and you are present. And remember who you are and whose you are. Why? Because it's appointed for man to die one time, and then comes the judgment. And all that's going to matter then is your character, not what the world thinks of you. I am Mr. Black reminding you, when you live your life like it matters, it does.
You have been listening to Mr. Black. master trainer for Like It Matters. Please find us on Facebook by searching LIM Radio. Make sure to follow us, like our posts, and share with others. Also, search YouTube for Like It Matters. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. And for more information on how we can help you live life like it matters, go to likeitmatters.net, where you can find more information on our transformational training, our life coaching, counseling, our radio show, and other ways we help you continue the journey of living life like it matters.